Alexander Gunas. I'm No Direction's Everyman Gamer, and I'm joined, as always, by the most intrepid Starfinder this side of the galaxy, James.
Hi, I'm James. I used to write Code Switch.
And we're here joined today with our two new victims. Victims is a good word. For the second of our two actual play episodes for Starfinder 2nd Edition, I would like to introduce... So I'm supposed to introduce you, according to Ryan, I'm supposed to introduce you guys in the order of your seniority in the network. And I don't remember which one of you joined first. I think it was Randall. Is that accurate?
I assume so.
Randall!
My man.
My man, right. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Randall.
So I am Randall. I have written for No Direction. I've done a few things here and there for other people. Thank you. I currently do RPG Sage for Play by Post Gaming via Discord. I am here to see how long it takes Alex to kill a character.
It's going to be you, man. You taunted me on Blue Sky, the bluest skies on the internet. You're going to get it. But we also have Rob, who might also get it too.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'm excited to play Witch Warper. Hi, everyone. Rob Pontius. I write Investing In for No Direction. And been on a few other channels, but really focused on No Direction right now. And excited to see how long I survive.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us, both of you. So, quick rundown. We are running another one of our one-hour one-shots. Same thing as one-shot with Shelley last month in October, where we had Ryan and Lauren on. Ryan played a melee-focused soldier. Lauren played a envoy who was very sassy and also very good at getting knocked unconscious. And we had James, a Solarian. James, tell us about the character that you're reprising.
I'm reprising Keith Wallman, the Vest Space Pirate Dinosaur. I'm stronger now. I can fly.
So much stronger. James, exactly how much stronger are you now?
If it's logarithmic, by a factor of one.
Oh, I was going to go by the fact that you're level 10 now instead of level 2.
Oh, yeah, I know, but my strength went up to, like, a plus 5. So, like, it's more of just, like, a wide strength, not, like, depth strength.
That makes sense. Let's go from here and check in with Randall. Tell us a bit about what you were playing, Randall. You were on our episode way back in September talking about your character. What did you decide?
I was. So, I have a... and a Stoki Borai named Deuces. He has a gun in both hands, guns blazing, envoy, outlaw background. He will either shoot you or intimidate you or both in whichever order he feels. There's not much more to it than that.
Great. Sounds wonderful. And Rob, picking up the rear, tell us about your character.
Hazavir is not from around here, literally not even from this reality. This Witch Warper comes from a reality where the Aslani Star Empire has to compete with the Thessalonian Star Empire. And he's like, you know what? It is just a lot better here. And so he enjoys playing all the vid games. He goes around, explores worlds, and sees what games they have to enjoy there, all while live streaming and having a bit of adventure the whole time. He can get a little distracted. He's a little chaotic, but I mean... Witch Warper. It's hard to keep all those energies under control.
Yeah, it's true. So James, give us the 8-level summary. What exactly did Keith do in the 8 levels since he came to One Shot at Shelley's and is now at the start of this adventure? Where has life taken him?
It's taken him in a big cyclical loop. He did get enough money from that job to get a bus ticket off to get to his ship, and did a couple more pirate operations where he met failure. And is now back in the same point where he is trying to where you met us last time. I'm just like, you know, more abilities. It's weird. You know, you could just like fly. You think you'd never be poor if you could just like fly, but you know, stuff happens.
I mean, Barathu can be poor and they can fly. So I get it. So meanwhile, you guys are all joined up together. You are all either Starfinder Society agents or you just happen to be taking an odd job or two for them. Kind of like what Keith is probably doing. So with that in mind, that you are Starfinders, what do you think your character is doing, Randall?
Man, I don't know. Deuces is probably going from job to job. He's an outlaw. He's probably playing it low-key at his favorite pub. You know, thankful to have some downtime, thankful to still be fighting the fight. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. It put me on the spot.
Tell me a bit about what your character, the great and powerful multi-dimensional master, is doing, Rob.
I think Kaz has been using the downtime to go through his, you know, backlist of games, enjoying a bit of social activity when he can in between. Just trying to drive those numbers and, you know, show his support for all of his fans and all his viewers.
Okay, sounds pretty good. So with that in mind, who's ready for some Starfinder?
Hey, man. Very ready.
All right. So our adventure begins in front of a pizza restaurant that looks surprisingly similar to the one that you have seen before, Keith. Your stomach kind of settles into your gut a little bit when you see a clear. You ever go to a place that like it's a bank now, but it's clearly a refurbished Pizza Hut?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, you know, yeah, that's what you're seeing. You're seeing this place that's clearly one of those like Shelley's Pizzeria John joints, but like it's been refurbished into like an event center. So like it's the same building structure, and you're pretty sure you can see where a giant animatronic version of the titular Skittermander Shelley probably waved in guests, bolted into the ground right to the side here. But this is now just, it's just called like Absalom, event hosting. It's in like the area of the city, kind of a couple blocks from Jatambe Park. Mm-hmm. Not a bad area, but it's a little bit odd that there was a close to such a respected area. However, the Starfinders have rented this place out for the evening to celebrate recent successes, and you guys got invited. Maybe you're here for a free dinner. Maybe you're here to schmooze. Maybe a bit of both. Maybe you have nowhere else to be on this Wednesday night. You are here tonight. What would you like to do?
I'm trying to figure out if this is deja vu or jamé vu, and I'm not smart enough to know the difference.
I can answer that for you. It's jatambe vu.
I imagine Kaz is expecting a social time, so something he's picked up is one of those injectable amps, magical, and he's going to use that to give himself a third rank glow up spell, because it'll help him with some like social, some smoothing, gives a bonus to his diplomacy and makes him look a little bit more prepared for a social night out.
Man, nothing prepares you for a company work party like drugs, am I right?
Yep, sure is.
And what is Deuces up to now?
Deuces isn't really for the work crowd. If you've ever watched Blade, because this guy dresses kind of like Blade, he's kind of got that dark silent type, you know, motif. He's at the club, but he's over in the corner, staring at the door, waiting, because something bad is going to happen, because that's just his life.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's certainly bad to have that thought as you're standing at the front door, not even going inside yet.
Yeah, I guess. You got any more of that?
No, I just got the one for today. I'm sorry.
Oh no, it's fine. If you needed to smuggle something, I got you for a fee. But yeah, pop open my tail. See, plenty of room.
Ah, well, I'm sure we'll find some here or something to take.
I just need a job. I open the door.
You open the door. Inside, there's a little desk. It's neat and tidy enough. There's a sign that says Starfinders this way, pointing up the stairs. You could hear the murmuring crowd of like a whole bunch of people talking, and you could even see people sitting at some of the tables from where you are at the bottom of the stairs. Unlike your last venture into a building like this, today this building is crowded with all sorts of adventurers that make the Starfinder Society what it is.
Oh, that's a nice change of pace.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You go inside, you see your old buddy Big O and your other buddy who's not dead, Parda, kind of sitting over at the bar just chatting. Oh. The rest of you are welcome to go in whenever you're ready. You could sit outside though if you just want to.
I think Kaz will head on in, follow after.
Yeah, Deuces follows, no biggie. He keeps his head down, but surprisingly smiles at people. It just looks a little strange. You'd have to see the character art for that to make a little more sense though.
You go in and you see Parda and Ryan, and imagine my best impression of Ryan Costello, Oh, hello there, Keith. I wasn't expecting to see you back so soon. How was space pirating?
It was going good until it went bad. We could use a champion like you.
I can imagine that you had some rough times with the pirating stuff. It's certainly rough out there now with all of those drift lanes making it more difficult for pirates to pirate because they're, you got to get them on the lane, but then that's where all of the drift lane police go.
Yeah, you can't really isolate somebody, you know?
Yes.
Allegedly.
Part of, in my best Lauren impression goes, that just means you ain't doing a good job there, Keith.
Yeah, you're right. I could do better. You should teach me.
I don't know. You want me to teach you? I retired after that last job. I just do paperwork now. I don't want to get my ass handed to me by a robot Skittermander again.
Paperwork. Oh, boring.
Yeah, this is Kaz.
You've brought friends with you. Hello, Kaz. I am Big O the Gladiator. Although now I am the Big One, because I have beaten one person without being knocked unconscious in gladiatorial combat.
Wait, this is actually Big 11.
Big 11, that's right. Big 11. Meanwhile, it looks like Deuces remains outside smoking.
No, he puts out a cigarette. He follows in. He comes in just on the tail end of this conversation about pirating and kind of looks around like, is this really a conversation? Is this really a conversation for the public?
Allegedly. There's nothing wrong with allegedly.
Okay.
Behind the bar, there is a very robust man with glasses, and he's currently like picking out bottles and looking at drinks, and he says, "Oh, hello there. Good to see you. Hey, what can I get you, Starfinders?
Any specials?"
Yeah, we have a couple of special drinks from Vesk. Polaris. I'm sorry, I almost called it by its slave name.
That would be unacceptable.
Yes. Sorry, things in this world change so quickly. It's like in the span of 2 years, it feels like we live in an entirely different setting. My name is Owen Casey Stevens, by the way. Nice to meet you. Pours you out a drink.
I'll take both specials.
So are you guys all celebrated Starfinder agents? You know, in my reality, I wrote the Starfinder Society.
Ooh, I haven't tuned into that one. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's a very good show.
I definitely am a contractor.
Ah, good on you. You make, no matter where you are, you make the world go around. You know, in my reality, I was a contractor too.
Oh, I'm sorry.
he hangs his head a little bit and says, yeah. Oh. Well, I hope you grab yourselves a drink and hang around, because the big Thanksgiving dinner for the Starfinder Society, giving thanks for all the prosperity that we've had and all of the hard work of our agents, making sure that we don't succumb to the many, many horrors that our developers, I mean, fate, put us through.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear, indeed. He goes over and he starts handing drinks to other people as he continues to walk around, allowing you guys to schmooze about, talk with whoever you'd like.
That Owen guy was really nice.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, agreed. Deuces will hold his glass up for a little clinky-clinky, a little uncharacteristic, and turn and check the room out. Is there, see if there's anyone to avoid or anyone to pester about a job?
There's a whole bunch of agents of different status here. They are currently on the map. There's like all of them. They're just kind of silhouettes. Just because that makes life easier. You can go and talk to anybody you want. If there's anyone specific you want to look for, you can give me a diplomacy roll to see if you can kind of like make your way through the crowd, schmooze, and find someone that either fits your interest or your profile. It looks like Keith is up first. What are you looking for, Keith?
I'm looking for signs of a struggle on the stage. This looks familiar in a way. I'm not comfortable.
Give me a perception check.
Wait, that's initiative. That's not the same. That's not that yet. You don't just roll that for no reason. As soon as I remember where the heck it is on these setups. Let me see. It's plus 19. Where's my
It's the little dice next to the perception, under the perception, and the banner on the first page.
Perfect. There we go. Found it. 25.
Yeah, you're looking through. You don't see signs of a struggle. It looks like this is a pretty normal place. decently clean. But as you're looking at the stage, you can't help but remember the sight of like robots attacking you and your friends. You kind of glance over at Big O and Parda, and they kind of give you a look that they're like, yeah, this is weird for us too.
As long as we're tracking.
Yeah. What would you like to look for, Kazavir?
I think I'll look for someone interested to meet and talk to.
Sure.
Especially give me. Anyone's already given me eyes.
Yeah, give me a diplomacy check.
All right. I don't know that I got my injectable working, but let's see. Diplomacy. There we go. Nope, it's not in there. I will put it in.
Yeah. You can click the roll button and then it'll ask for like a conditional modifier and you can just type the number there.
Yeah, yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
Boom. My fancy dice. Aw, only a 4. 19.
You go and like you go to the first person that you think might look interesting and like you want to talk to. What do you say? It's a Skittermander.
Oh, as I come up to him, I go, hey, have you met my programmable plushie? This is Gom Gom. How you doing?
Oh my gosh, you have a programmable plushie? I love programmable plushies. Did you know that the last time that I saw a programmable plushie, it was back on Vest 2 when we were doing all sorts of fun things with my family? I took that Skittermander plush and then I started having it climb the wall and he goes on for the next.
Ooh.
Roll 1d4 times 10. 20 minutes of conversation with the Skittermander, unless you leave, where he hyperfixates and dumps every single detail about every plushie and toy he's ever come into contact.
Nope, I'm totally in. I'm in there. And my glasses are taking notes for me.
Good. You learn about at least 12 different types of unique plushie toys from the Skittermander homeworld, one of which is specifically designed to be able to be hugged by all 6 arms at the same time of a little Skittermander robot.
I need 2 of those.
You also learn about one that's made entirely of meat, so that the little whelplings can take their ever stomachs and like attach to it and then hug it by pulling it to their body because their little Skittermander whelp stomachs can't pull it inside. It's how they first learn hugs.
This is why I love this universe. I learned so much.
James, you overhear the end part of that conversation with the Skittermander meat doll and have that reaction. Deuces, what do you do?
Deuces probably look around. This is probably see someone that you know he's bought equipment from, or is there an armory? You know, a society armory. Maybe yeah, someone definitely involved in that. And he probably goes over and you know wants to chat about the latest equipment. Maybe talk about fine tuning some stuff. So he'd probably look for somebody involved in the armory or the weapons trade.
Sure, give me a diplomacy check.
Oh yeah, that's not going to be good. If he sees someone, he might go intimidate them into a conversation.
Yeah. You've got a +5. I believe in you. Roll right. Your dice.
Roll. See what we got here.
Yeah, you go up to somebody and it's like an armory person, and you ask them like about armor upgrades, and they talk a bit about you, but they seem generally disinterested in having this conversation with you, and are kind of like, yeah. Yeah, You know, like it's like that vibe that you give when you're like you're trying to like move past the conversation, but you're not brave like James and can't just say I'm done with this conversation and walk away.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Lots of people are like that, James. You're a very very talented man. I tell you this every single time that you do it. I'm very impressed. But so this conversation goes on for about 20 minutes. When the murmuring of the crowd suddenly dies down as Owen takes like a bottle of champagne and clanks a spoon up to it. And he says, friends, starfinders gathered here today in these this halls of celebration. I am not a venture officer. I'm nobody particularly important here. But I would like to humbly thank you for coming to this little shindig. Remember that ultimately, at the end of the day, the Starfinder Society is nothing without you, the Starfinders who go out into the great broader universe and buy our books and ultimately play our game. I mean, do our adventures. And ultimately, it's you, the community, the people that we developers care about most. It is with great honor that I can present to you this feast befitting of heroes. And he gestures out back, and a couple of like cooks bring out these very large, elaborate like trays of food. There seems to be a smoked bird that looks like it's about the size of an ostrich. That has like this very like heavenly spiced aroma. It is filled with stuffing. There's like all sorts of different dishes, from like mashed potatoes and cranberries and gravy to something that looks like a wiggly jelly that still moves, and another one that has, it's like a vegetable, but it seems to be floating in the air in anti-gravity above. There's all sorts of strange delicacies from the many worlds that the Starfinders have visited. You are welcome to go up and take your share of whatever meal you would like.
Yeah, I want the bird.
Kaz heads over quickly. He wants a little of everything. Just all right. Pile it on the plate.
Try every bit of food from every world here.
What a good treat. Have to.
Now, let me ask, can Deuces eat, Randall?
Deuces does eat, but he actually looks like he might be afraid of that jello.
That's fair. The jello seems to stare menacingly back at you.
Is it in a cube form?
No, it's like
probably safe.
It's in like a pyramid form.
All right. Yeah. Who's ever heard of a gelatinous pyramid?
Right? Ridiculous. Hold on. You say that? Who's ever heard of a gelatinous pyramid? Owen pulls out a pen from his book and starts writing something down.
Uh-oh. Sorry, that universe.
So you go ahead and eat. You can take a spot at a table, or you can stand. There's bar stools. You can go wherever your heart's desire.
Yeah, I'll use that opportunity to go talk to someone new.
Sure, give me a diplomacy.
Okay. Come on. Almost 16, 8. 23 ain't bad, though. I'm a friend.
Yeah. You go up to somebody, and it's a Lashunta man. He's sitting there. He's very burly and hairy. He's eating his meal, and you come up, he's like, "Oh, hi, welcome. What can I do for you?"
I don't know. What can I do for you? All right. Did you get any food yet?
Yes.
Nice.
It is good. Delectable. It is one of these parties, these celebrations that the Starfinder Society throw. It is one of the greatest reasons to support the cause, because they fill your wallets with credits and your bellies with delicacies.
I love it. It's working well for me. I like the exploring. The food's nice. Technically, I don't need to eat, but I love it.
Oh, everybody needs to eat, even if they don't require nourishment. The act of consumption. Delectable. It brings us one with the universe. It lets us take a bit of the outside and bring it inside. We bring it into our bellies, which brings the outside into our hearts, and we all become connected in this wonderful tapestry called life.
Deuces was walking up to join the conversation and just turns around and walks a different direction.
Meanwhile, Deuces, where do you go from there?
He's probably going to go to the bar after that, about face, just the shortest distance to the bar, set his plate down, finish his food while looking for someone else that he might be able to talk to without annoying, and probably grab a drink and see what his dino friend is up to.
Sure. Give me a perception check. As you said, you're looking for somebody you can talk to.
Yeah, that's the trick. Wait, where did it... I can't find perception.
It's gone forever. There it is. Rolling. I've taken your eyes.
That's not terrible.
No, that's really good. Oh,
that's nice.
With a 30, you see a straggler enter the area. Ooh, that's not great. You see... Yeah, no, I don't want that. You see a straggler enter. He's like, you ever see somebody walk into an area and you're like, that person is absolutely 100% an emo goth person?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. This person walks in and he's like dressed in like a sweeping black robe. He doesn't have to wear a sweeping black robe. And he's got like this over the top, like crowned horn magic item as he walks in looking like all swag. He's right over here in the back if you want to check them out. He kind of walks in, but you know what? You're also kind of ghastly and you feel like that might be someone that you could talk to.
Yeah, Deuce is actually will set down his drink and and your two finest clamato juices and walk on over and offer a drink of blood per se.
Ah, he takes it. Is this vintage?
He turns to Owen and like raises his one eyebrow.
He looks at the bottle and he says, "I don't ask questions, man. I don't like the idea of thinking that I'm serving blood." He goes over and serves blood to somebody else.
It's vintage, Jesus says.
He takes the guy like opens his mouth and pours the drink down his throat and says, "Exquisite. Tell me, traveler, what brings you to the world of the living?"
Well, I didn't much care for how I was killed. Something about your escape pod being burned up and re-entry just didn't sit right with me.
I understand. Life is bleeding, and when it is over, it should be over. Undeath, life, both are equally blasphemous. And he takes out his blood and takes another. Just like that.
Since I've been on both sides of that, I'm not sure how to answer that.
Then don't. I will help myself to the food. Good day.
Good day. Yeah, I do seem a little confused.
James, you are over hanging out. Keith is like schmoozing. What is Keith schmoozing about?
Keith's looking for the most chaotic neutral person that might be into having a space pirate do space pirate things.
Roll me a perception check to look for a chaotic neutral space pirate.
Somebody who's gonna, look past things.
It's very hard to not see that man up at the top and not go, "That is the most chaotic person here."
No, chaotic neutral. That's chaotic. Chaotic
goth?
It's not goth. It's just, I don't know. Like, that person can't just, like, show up and just say, "Give me your stuff." You know, that person's like a 10-minute diatribe about morality. That's too much.
Then, yeah, you look over, and then there's someone much more chaotic neutral, just a gnome.
Ah, perfect.
"Look at me!" He reaches into his pocket and goes, "Pocket glitter! Woo! Woo! Woo!"
All right, that's pretty great. You ever throw it in somebody's face to take their wallet?
All the time!
We're gonna be fast friends.
"But of course I give the wallet back when I'm done. After I swipe the credit card."
My man. I give him a high five.
He gives you a high five back.
I have found my people. I consume the bird.
You consume the bird. Meanwhile, up at the top, the front guy is going over to the table. And right now, Kaz, you're the closest person to him. Do you notice him? What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I definitely pay attention to that kind of regalia. Someone wants attention, needs attention, or has dark intentions. Either way, it's going to be interesting.
Sure. You see him over there. Give me an occultism check.
Ooh. Oh, I'm smart. I forgot.
He's doing something over there, but you're not quite sure what. You don't have dubious knowledge, do you? I'm gonna give you lies if you do.
I do not.
Okay. He's doing something over there, but you're not sure.
Hey, you keep eating. I gotta go talk to Horn Guy. Bye. And Cass just goes walking up. "Hey, how are you? I'm Cass."
"Hello.
What you doing?"
"I am preparing the vessel." He starts drawing strange markings and ketchup on the turkey.
Don't you normally just put gravy on it?
"I suppose, but that is very runny and would be difficult to perform the work that must be done."
"Yeah. Infernal stuffing?"
"No." I am seeing to
that. Dressing?
I am seeing that this bird does what you have wished for it. And he finishes his circle, and he puts a his hand like directly on the meat, like he's a oh god, I just cursed. I'm sorry, James.
Yeah,
he I'm puts his times. Hand. he puts his hand directly on the meat, as if he's a toddler touching a birthday cake that they want, and then looks at you with a very evil grin. I'm here to make sure that it's devoured. Everything is devoured. And then with that, like, the lights start flickering in a very occultic manner.
This guy's doing something weird to the meat, and he hasn't even eaten yet.
Oh no, yells Owen. You gotta stop him from doing something weird to the meat.
Did he put ketchup on that? Gross.
I know. Blasphemy.
Quick draw.
Big O yells, who puts ketchup on a giant fowl of this size? And then Prada goes, how are you even eating that? You have a flat panel for a face. go ahead and roll your perception checks.
For what?
All right.
For initiative.
We have to fight this guy. Who could have foreseen this? Well,
you don't have to. You don't have to. You could just sit there and do nothing.
Nah, I'm finished by turkey.
I just assumed that, like, y'all built characters for fighting and that your answer would be violence.
Boom.
Oh my god. It's almost like you guys want to defeat this person before anything 23. Happens.
And because I'm rolling initiative and I'm a witch warper, I can activate my quantum pulse, which is a free action, which triggers my warp reality, which for anyone watching, the FAQ errata for Starfinder 2E made it a class feature instead of an optional feat. Oh. So within 100 feet of me, I get to choose a 15-foot radius first to start making some weird shifts to the air and space as various images of different realities start appearing. And because of the type of witch warper I am, which is anomaly, they're going to have a difficult time concentrating. So anytime someone affected, and I'm going to choose enemies, definitely not my allies, others, yeah, pretty much anyone else coming in here, not Owen. Owen's a good guy, you know, and my buddies who came with me, they're not going to be affected, but everybody else is. They try to do something with the concentrate check, they're going to have to make a DC 5 flat check, or if they lose it, it's disrupted.
Nice.
Yeah. So
just roll that initiative and we'll get started.
Oh, did it not come up? Yeah, it did. 23? Oh, did not come up as initiative? That's why.
Yeah, Alex, I forgot because of the new character. I've got Danger Sense. I would have used it on Kazavir because he was close to the weird evil guy. All it would do is bump me to a 23.
22 is fine.
Or 22, I mean.
Bump you to a 22
so when you're about to roll initiative, you use Danger Sense. You signal one ally, you and that ally both roll initiative but take the higher of the results.
Okay, so you both have 22.
Yeah, so we would both have 22.
Sounds good. All right, first up is Keith. You react quick with you're ready to go. You were already on guard because you've had bad experiences in a restaurant that looks suspiciously similar to this.
I channel the power of black holes to go fast. I run, but don't touch the ground. But I still try to make it look like I'm running. Got to keep them guessing. I run 60 feet using Stellar Rush to get 2 move actions at the 10-foot move bonus to get behind them. Don't bother with the additional part where you try to move people in an area because, well, I'm here where I want to be. And this one is sinning.
My headcanon is that you actually, because you run straight up towards that wall and then you do like a U-turn, and I imagine that you like jump up and like kick flip off of the wall to get in your current position.
Yeah, totally, 100%. That wasn't a very high roll. That was a 24 KAC.
Let me see. You'd be surprised, but that hits this creature.
Oh, good, because it's 26. I forgot flanking. Well, I might not have it because Kaz would be flat-footed. Well, whatever, damage.
Well, in Starfinder 2nd Edition, takes a penalty rather than you gaining a bonus. But yes, you are flanking him. That he takes all that damage and is he staggers back. But as his like mass shifts, he starts like anime villain laughing.
That's what to do that when I bite you.
He says it's I. He goes, I am taking you seriously. I revel in the destruction you wield. And he turns around, and I think what he's going to do is he's going to pull out this very dark looking spear that he has. It's like not a very nice looking weapon. It's like covered in like blood and runes of a vile demonic, not truly demonic, but like hellish nature, you know, like evil.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes his spear, and he is going to try to stab you with it twice. He's going to swing at you, and then he's going to take a second attack with his multiple attack.
You see my field? I put it down, I think.
Yeah, so tell me what happens to the creatures in your field.
Oh, so that is, as they see all the different realities flashing through, not my allies, but everybody else, including Owen will count as an ally, will get distracted by those flashing images. So if he tries to do anything with the concentrate trait, he will have to make a DC 5 flat check, or the action is disrupted.
Hmm. That sounds pretty good.
So distracting. Hopefully good for a spellcaster.
Yeah.
And it's gonna get worse.
Gonna get worse. Why would you make it worse, though? Oh, that didn't work good.
I don't think being a dirty deer monster is magic. I think this is just being kind of gross.
It's true. So does a 30 hit you, James?
It does.
All right, here's some damage.
Well, that's... Thank you very much, sir. May I have another? Also, take this Nimbus Surge.
Oh, what does that do?
You get to give me a DC 27 Fortitude save or get pushed 5 feet away.
Oh, so that would interrupt my action.
Yeah.
Is that the point?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I failed that.
Yeah, you could take that space to the left of Kaz there.
To the left of Kaz, got it. So he goes there, and he staggers back, and he says, "Very well," and then he swings the spear at Kaz.
You coward. who could have seen this coming? No.
Does a 33 hit you?
Oh, yeah. Yep, and I haven't acted yet, so I have no reactions.
Oh, no. You're not. I don't think you're flat-footed, though, in this game, for not acting yet, are you?
No.
Okay.
Technically, I would be.
That's fine. That's not enough to crit you, though. I'm looking at your armor class. Kaz's armor class is a 28, so minus 2 for being flat-footed would be 26, and I only rolled a 33, so I could not crit him with that roll. Right. But you do take 18 points of damage.
All right.
I gave you the easier of the attacks. I took 22.
Oh. It's true. Just goes, yikes! Ouch!
You're up, and he laughs and says, "I will make sure that everyone is fit for devouring." I will make sure everyone is fit for devouring. You will be fed to the devourer itself. You will.
I'm gonna roast your turkey, and I start focusing and thinking, and I'm going to use Danger Zone, which is an anchoring trait ability, which will allow me to choose a kind of damage to be doing while within my field, and I'm gonna choose fire. So we're gonna slowly cook my enemies. And I'll note here, all the feats for the Witch Warper and the fields, they do mention like the creatures within taking the damage or being affected, but the actual warp reality for Witch Warper says specifically you choose which creatures are affected. I'm assuming because you don't just want to kill your allies, otherwise you would not really be able to use your quantum field's abilities. So yeah, only he's going to be cooking, possibly some of the others that come into the field. Like that guy at that table, he's probably going to want to move out of the field, or else he's going to get cooked too.
Yeah, it says any creature, but I know that the base ability says your enemies. That yeah. I think that needs a clarification. That's not very clear. I agree
completely.
And I feel like, this is one of the problems that the 1E Witch or Warper had, where like half of it you would just do to your friends, and so you would never use the ability. I think that really needs to be clarified and improved.
Yep.
Inflict death
first, and then, I don't know, I should probably attack him with a spell too. That anchoring trait ability keeps the field going. It counts as my sustain. So I don't have to continue sustaining because that ability counts as it. He's right next to me, so I don't know. I reach out and try to touch him. And I'll do inject nanobots.
Go ahead, roll. I believe in you.
All right. Attack. Come on. Come on.
Oh, that's a real world die. Is there a reality where you can re-roll that?
Only with the hero point.
Ooh, your call.
Why not?
You
rolled
a four. You could only do better from here.
That's a good one to re-roll. All right, let me see. Reroll using a hero point. Boom. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Really?
Oh my god.
All right. My turkey's gonna get cooked.
Man, the low number into a nat roll pipeline of hero points. You hate to see it.
Yeah.
Deuces, you're up.
All right, Deuces is going to get ready for this battle that he didn't see coming. he's going to draw his guns. He's going to activate his force shield. He will take an intimidating shot at this guy. So that just starts with one strike. And if I hit, then there we go. So we're going to fire at this guy. Ah, I don't have ammunition on it, so it won't let me roll. Okay.
Put the bullets. Oh my god, you forgot to buy bullets.
Apparently. I have it on my sheet, just not in the right place. So, well, with this weapon, how about a 1d20 plus 20? Does sound good to you? Why is that right? Does that look right?
Yeah, sounds right.
Nice.
Of course, nothing is working for me. Why?
I don't know. I'm looking at your sheet. I don't see any ammo in your sheet.
No, I'm manually trying to roll over in the little chat thingy, and it's not.
I'm seeing a lot of.
Yeah, you got a lot of dice. Your first roll is a 35.
Okay, sorry about that. I am seeing none of them. So, did the first one hit?
The 35 is a hit. It's actually a critical hit.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
Okay. So then the damage on that is going to be, where is my damage for that? Let's see. Oh, wrong one. Did I roll? I may have hit the wrong button.
I do not see any dice rolling.
Okay. 2d6 plus 2 twice. 2d6 plus 2. Two times that. I'm just going to roll it and we can double it. What came through?
Oh my god, you rolled double ones, so for a total of 8 damage.
That sounds about right.
Eels.
That's what I get for not setting up my character right. But I'll take the hit and the damage and skip the intimidating shot because I misread that and I don't shoot him, I shoot in the air.
Yeah. So the second roll you made would have been, are you taking another action after that? What are you doing?
No, it was draw my guns, activate my force shield, take a shot.
Huh.
That was three actions.
Gotcha. Next round to the top goes to Keith. Keith, your friends are trying their best to fight this man.
Yeah, we got to keep, the thing about throwing hands is you can't stop. You always got to keep throwing hands.
I believe the famous saying is can't stop, won't stop.
I am going to 5, 10, 20. He doesn't have AOPs. I'm disrespecting him. I walk around to the back of him and start biting.
He spins around watching you. His eyes narrow as you completely disrespect him, and he can't stop you.
I knew it. I have the high ground.
A 30 is a hit.
Yeah, take that, buddy. Yeah,
buddy. Oh, no. That's maximum.
Awesome. Take that, and you know, one good bite deserves another. There's a 23 him being flanked hit.
With him being flanked, it hits.
All right, one good turn deserves another.
That is 12 damage.
Yep, there we go. You're looking like a deer out here, and I'm a wolf dinosaur. I'm a dinosaur.
A dinosaur man. His go. He is going to, oh god, this is not good. He's flanked. It's his turn to disrespect. He's going to disrespect Kazavir. You seem like you're a guy who knows his way around murders, but Kazavir is just a guy with good hair. So he's going to step over here. And
he's gonna get, he has to make a reflex save.
Oh, he does. You're right. Now, what also, was your thing, James?
Also reactive strike.
Oh, no. Can you do that on a step?
Oh, can I? Or can I not?
I'm not sure. Step often doesn't trigger reactions based on movement.
Oh, yeah. If it's on move action, then no.
Yeah. So that is a 29 against your quantum field.
All right. Which passes. So he's going to take half of this roll. Yes. Well, two fire. Better than zero.
Two fire. All right. When he gets over there, he is going to attempt to cast a spell. I think he is going to...
That's probably because the concentrate trait, he will have to make a DC 5 plot check or lose the action.
I think all spells have the concentrate trait, don't they?
I'm pretty sure. But I won't assume. I don't know what he's using.
Yeah, it's true. He is going to start casting a spell targeting James, Keith specifically. Now you said I have to make a DC 5
DC 5 flat check, or the spell is, or the action is disrupted.
Oh, he barely makes it. Rolls a 7. So the spell that he casts is called Weight of Ages. So James, where it says, first he's got to try to hit you with it. So he's going to make an attack roll against you with this spell. Does a 31 hit you?
Oh, just barely.
So it says you take 68 mental damage and you are encumbered. So
68. I don't get a save. He just does that to me. Dang.
Nah, man. He hits you.
Dang.
The pain. Yikes. You take 21 damage as you are burdened with the aches, pains, and sorrows of a lifetime in a condensed bowl. Oh,
I thought it was 68.
No. Six D dice, eight sided dice. I'm not doing 68 damage to you.
I mean, I was still going to be here, but I was like, oh, man, that hurts. I'm very old suddenly.
Cass, you're... All right. First thing Cass is going to do is he's like, everyone better back up. And his field will start growing larger as he uses enlarge quantum field. Which is anchoring. So if you can make, I tried to increase this, I can't. If you can increase the size by 10 foot radius.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah, I can't grab at it. So I'm hoping you can on one of the layers.
I did it. I made you bigger.
Awesome. And so that counts as also sustaining. And now each turn, if I want to increase it by 5 feet, I can. And then he's still right next to me, the bastard. All right.
Yeah, if you can make this bubble this big, this easily, this definitely needs to not affect your friends.
5, 10. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm thinking from the reading, but then the feats say, like, any creatures is like, do you mean any creatures except for the ones you chose not to affect, hopefully? Because otherwise, why would you want to use these abilities? All right.
Tougher friends.
Tougher friends.
I really want to inject somebody with nanobots, so I'm going to try again.
I believe in you.
Yep. Next to me, and I just... Kazavir, while appearing to be human, is also Prismeni. He's been touched by the drift, and he can even talk to computers remotely from 10 feet away, and he just keeps nanobots with him, injected with a bit of Magitek, and they come streaming down his hand and out of his fingertips, and literally his nails... Turns out his nails are mostly just nanites, and they go flying into him as hopefully I touch him.
I hope you touch him too.
Give him the fleas.
Oh my god, that's a 29. That one is actually a hit.
Yay, sweet. All right. So he will take 5d6 acid damage.
Inflict your punishment upon him.
5d6 acid. These dice are so fun. 24.
He takes it.
Great. And that's the end of my turn.
Very good. Next up goes to Deuces.
Okay. It looks like a Deuces is just outside his range increment there. So he is going to do what he can to get a cleaner shot and help the group. He is going to move up. Whoa. Did I just move the wrong thing?
Yeah, you moved lots of people with you.
Yeah, you moved everybody somehow.
I grabbed deuces and moved them, and things went crazy. I'm sorry. He will use get him or not? Is it not get him? It's yeah. So he's gonna use get him. Sorry, I've got too many things there. That's where it is. So yeah, within 60 feet, that creature has minus AC and reflexes until the beginning of my next turn. Plus cool stuff happens later. So we'll go ahead and take another shot. If I can find his, oh, that's right. It won't let me roll because I still haven't done the ammo.
Are you going to be leading by example?
I would love to, but yeah, I'm attacking right now, so yes, I would be leading by example. Correct. All right, see if that hits. 37.
That is a crit.
Okay, let's see if this
all deuces does is crit.
Yeah, let's see if it actually hurts this time. Well, that's better than snake eyes. So there we go. So that was a 1, a 2, and a 3. So that's 3 for me. I do have some reactions and stuff built up that hopefully I can use. But all right.
Well, this does say that you get a circumstance bonus to that damage roll equal to 1 plus half your charisma modifier.
There we go. That's right. So half my charisma modifier. So I get a 1.
You have a 5. Half of 5 is 2.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So you would get 3 together.
I was thinking strength because I'm a gun wielder. So yes, 3. Thank you.
Yeah, no. This is the good stuff. It's your key ability. That's where the good damage is. Now, you still have one more action left because you get him, you shot.
No, shooting is separate. So I had to stride, get him, shoot.
Yeah, so you got good. Keith, you're up.
All right. So I get a bonus on stuff, right? Oh no,
he takes a minus 1 to his reflex save and his armor class, and because deuces used he led by example, you also get a plus 1 to your damage roll.
Oh nice. I'm going to fill him with some Jurassic fear. I'm going to try to intimidate him.
Do it. Send him back to cowering to the Pathfinder 1E days.
Oh, I rolled bad.
I don't fear you. I only fear the anthropic end of all things, which I will help bring about so I may no longer live in fear.
I'm going to shoot him. I point my finger gun at him, and I blast off a shot.
Oh my god, it's the solar flare.
The solar flare. Oh no.
Oh.
He raises his hand, and he deflects it completely by accident while he's like shaking his hands to the sky.
Eat the second one.
Oh no! so you miss, and he's like, oh! And then he's like looking at his hand like, the devourer is safe. So in addition to this damage, you also get plus 1 from lead by example on get him, but that plus 1 is also doubled. So you're actually getting a plus 2 for a total of
52.
54. And?
Oh, it's already in there. Deuces, it says it on the thing.
Got him.
Yeah.
It's already included. Okay. Yeah, so 52 damage.
So what does got him do? That's a different.
So got him, an ally damages the target of your get him. The ally gains a number of temporary hit points equal to half my level, or oh, nice. My level if it was a critical.
Oh, nice. I do need those hit points. He did us so that.
10 temporary.
I like that. Thank you. You're also, welcome. Take that damage.
You shoot him, and he just drops to the floor dead, his blood spilling out under this pristine metal floor grating.
Amazing.
Take that. I blow the smoke off my finger guns.
Exactly. That's how it's done.
I learned it from you, boss.
James, you hear the sound of like forks and knives shuddering and shaking behind you on that table.
Ah, that's because I scared everybody. I turn around and look at it.
You turn around to look, and all of the food is congealing into something big and horrible. You may have one. You may have 3 actions with which to prepare.
Quick, get over here. Can we you either move to me or I'll move to you and I can battle medicine you?
You have three. Yeah, you can battle medicine. That'll work because battle medicine is a single action.
Yeah. So
he stabbed you with his deer horns. Were those his or did he like find those?
What are you going to do, Kaz? You are right next to the food plate as it is like shaking and sputtering.
First, I think Kaz is backing up away from it, but that's partially because he's letting his mind wander as he uses meandering mind to keep his field active. But he's thinking about all the different tasty food that's now going to get totally wasted by whatever's happening to it. And he's thinking about all the different flavors and wondering if maybe ketchup wasn't so bad to try putting on turkey. But what's nice about this, as he lets his mind wander, it gives him some protection. So for the next turn, until the end of his next turn, start of next turn, he'll get a +2 circumstance bonus to saving throws. And for his last turn, he will raise his force shield that was out. His
nice.
Sorry.
So I see, Randall, that you have rolled for Deuce's medicine check and have rolled a 15. So that means that Keith regains 15 hit points.
Yay. Nice. I'm also no longer clumsy. How do I remove that?
You can go into your character sheet. After the feats tab, there is an effects tab, and you can just hit the trash can and throw it in the garbage.
Oh, dope.
Or I can do it for you. It's fine. There you go.
Thank you.
Trash can.
Steamed vegetables, cooked flesh, and bone from this massive bird suddenly reassemble themselves into a massive hulking creature. Liver hangs from its mouth like a tongue. Ribs have like rearranged itself around to form a bony armor, and it has massive teeth that just kind of stare at you as it chatters and writhes. This massive creature appears.
Oh my gosh.
You may roll for initiative.
Please, it's not a pyramid.
It's not a pyramid.
I don't know if that's better or worse. God, I'm so fast.
The creature seems to stagger as it like gets itself up off the table and it assembles itself into this horrible looking creature.
If we're rolling initiative, I'm going to use my danger sense.
Sure. Who are you targeting?
So, Dino Boy. I don't know why I keep forgetting your name. I cannot remember that name.
Keith His name's Lawman.
Keith Lawman.
Yeah. All right. So,
Keith the Dinosaur.
There we go. 30.
So, you got a 30. Keith got a 38. So, that means you got a 38?
Yep. That's what it means.
Cool. The initiative order does not change.
That's a cool ability.
Yeah, it's very cool. I like that. Keith, you're up first. There is a giant food monstrosity.
I can get up to there, but I can also get up to there. All right, so 5, 10, 15, 20. I'm going to head up to it because my lunch isn't going to tell me how I'm going to live my life. And I'm going to take a bite. That's a 23. Probably not.
So before you make that attack roll, so we're going to pause that for 1 second. When you get there, you're washed over this overwhelming sense of dread as it feels like the very weight of the devourer is focused its attention upon you as you approach this horrific food avatar that its cultist has made. I am going to need you to make a will save because you are subjected to its frightful presence.
Oh, no.
But you're fine. You're good.
You're just food.
You're just scary. So you are frightened one. That condition goes down by one every turn. And this, you are now immune to its frightened presence for 1 minute. So at the end of your turn, at the end of your turn, it will go away. It says, unless specified, at the end of each of your turns, the value goes down by one. So at the end of your turn, this condition will go away.
Yep.
However, a 31 is not enough to hit him.
Okay.
So do you have any other actions you want to take? Do you have any actions left?
I moved over and attacked twice.
All right. So your first one was a 23 that missed. The 31 missed. Your turn ends. You are no longer frightened.
Yay.
Deuces, you're up.
I just remember that Deuces also has battle cry. So when rolling initiative, I can try to demoralize as a free action.
Sure, go ahead.
I have no idea if it'll demoralize food, but it's a thing I have and it's a free action, so we are going for it. as soon as I can remember how to find my where are my proficiencies? I've lost them. There they are. Intimidation roll. Got a plus 21 to that. How about a 36 to intimidate this thing?
The DC is against his will DC?
I do believe so.
Yeah. That is a success.
What do you scream?
You are food.
Kaz goes, yeah, leftovers.
Not like that. All right, so we will get him and try to lead by example, taking a shot. So let's get in there and roll some attacks. First of which is a still with the dang ammo. I got one more shot with his gun, and then I run out of ammo. But good thing I got two guns.
It's true. Two guns.
The old two gun special.
All right, so the one gun that is my primary, 24 is probably going to miss.
Close.
Yes, it misses.
The secondary, minus 5, and it's one less than minus 6. So with a plus 14, my second weapon is the arc pistol, not the laser pistol.
Sure.
Jeez, even
these
worse.
These dice are mean.
Yeah, they don't like it. They don't like...
It's almost like I insulted the GM.
Hey, you know what? You insulted me in my home, Randall. You know, oh, my monster must eat you now.
I won't let him do that.
I'm going to try my best, James. Is that all your actions, Randall? That sounds like a move and two attacks, right?
It was, yes. It was an interact and two attacks. Also, I did, even though I did not hit him, I did shoot him. So the get him lead by example is there.
Did you use get him? I thought you shot twice and then...
No, my first one. Action number one was shoot.
Oh, gotcha.
Or, sorry, action number one was get him and then two different guns.
Yeah, so both Rob and James will get the plus one circumstance bonus, and he's taking the penalty for
correct.
The get him. Very correct. Good. So, wait, actually, if you get him... Oh, no, those attack rolls are really low. They wouldn't have hit.
Yeah, no, it was terrible.
Kazavir, you're up. You've got a shield.
Kaz has his shield up, but he's, like, turning his head slowly. He's like, And the area around this monstrosity starts to warp as I'm going to use World Warp, which takes a focus point. I choose a 10-foot burst within my field, and I just wanted to hit it, really. And now I have to roll a d6 because I have to figure out which crazy, powerful, calamitous event from somewhere in this reality happened. So I'm going to roll a d6 here. And we get 6. So it's a radioactive blast. What are you going to cook this thing? The echo of nuclear reaction deals 4d12 bludgeoning damage and 1d6 persistent fire damage, depending upon its save. It's got to make a save DC 29 fortitude.
Oh my god, you're Chernobyling it.
Oh my god.
Yep, sure am. Going right there.
So I roll a 43 on my fortitude save. That's a critical success.
Holy cow.
What? I rolled an 18 on the die.
Oh my god. Yeah. Okay, I don't think it takes anything.
It just doesn't maybe care.
Oh no, that's so sad. All right, I'm not going to roll any damage
I think you've learned what this creature's best saving throw is.
Oh no, everyone. I think it's radioactive.
All you've done is microwave me.
Yeah, did you just power up Godzilla?
Everyone knows that leftovers are worse than the microwave.
I should have used the air fryer. Because I sustained this through an anchoring ability, because all the focus spells are anchoring, I'm going to choose to increase the radius of my field 5 more feet, if you can do that. And, oh boy, with my last action, I will raise my shield again, because I don't know what else to do. All right, that's it for me.
Just raise your shield up, hide behind it. It's its turn. It is going to start by giving a nice big roar as a free action, just because to remind you that it's got frightful presence. And then it is going to attempt to bone scythe James.
Whoa, that sounds cool.
A very large like arm that's like a giant like bone and just swipes at you. Here we go. Does a 30 hit you?
Yes, my AC is 27.
Okay, but I don't crit you, which is good. So
go ahead, crit me.
I roll 30 points of damage, and because I hit you with my bone scythe, I get to attempt to trip you as a free action with my improved knockdown ability. I roll really bad, though. I'm assuming a 16 doesn't beat 10 plus your fortitude save.
No.
Okay. So he's going to use his second action to move here, which is going to trigger reactions from Keith, if you have one, and also he's moving through the big Witch Warper dome.
Yes, so he has to make a reflex save DC 29 or take 2d6 fire.
All right, let's see how I do.
I will hold off on my reactive.
I roll a 30, which I think is half damage, right?
Yes, so... what's an easy way for me to roll 2d6 rather than go searching for it? Can I just type, what is it, r/r2d6?
Yeah, it's backslash. I think you can just do R, yeah.
Yeah, programming. Rounding down to fire.
He takes it. Doesn't seem to notice the damage. You're not going to take your reaction, James?
No.
Cool. He's going to hold up his arm, and you see assorted bones from the bird load itself into their arms, and he uses his bone flinger ranged attack on Deuces. This will also provoke if you'd like to try to swing on him for this.
Yeah, I'm gonna swing on him for that. And do I keep the multi-attack penalty from attacking once last turn?
You do not.
Okay.
The multi-attack penalty ends after your turn ends.
Well, I rolled 23.
Yes, unfortunately, I can't help you that. So you're going to get bone flinged, Randall. That's going to be 33 to hit your KAC?
Yep.
Or just your AAC. Is this a Starfinder now?
I'm going to say KAC. You can't stop me.
Forever. You can't stop me. 31 points of damage on that. Ooh. A little bit above average.
Boom. Shield will eat some of that and deactivate.
Okay. Womp, womp. At the end of his turn, he's no longer frightened from the demoralize, and that is it. Now you guys get to go. You're up.
He's going to be demoralized again. I yell at it in an infernal, oh my god, my voice cracks. I'm so mad.
you're going, oh!
I bite it once. Take a bite out of dinner. 30?
A 30 is just shy of hitting.
Ah, dang it.
You were very close.
What about a 31?
Also just shy of hitting.
No!
Include his minus from get him?
Oh, I forgot you were get him. That still misses, but it's good to know. You feel like if he was still shaken, that would have hit.
I mean, I tried. He's immune to my intimidate attempts now.
I know. Well, I mean, he's not immune. Your voice just cracked.
No, isn't it when you try to intimidate somebody, regardless of the thing, they're immune?
You could do it all day, every day.
Oh, okay.
You can literally just spam there and just scream at him until you get your way. It's great.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
Drill sergeant style.
You'll do that next turn, because now it's Deuce's turn.
Yeah.
They're definitely going to need that get him bonus, though.
Yeah, no, we're definitely going to get him again, and we're going to fire twice. I'm just double checking to see if I wanted to use to try to intimidate him myself, but let's just roll the attacks. So the first shot plus 19 to hit. Oh, come on.
My God. You guys are rolling so low.
You've
been pretty average.
And there we go. Look at that.
Oh, my God.
That was great for me.
Kaz, you're up.
Kaz pulls his hands out. He's effectively lowering his shield for the moment. As he stares at the creature, tries to reach into its mind and tries to make it see the truth of its demise. I'm going to cast Vision of Death. I want it to see all of us devouring it. So it has to make a will save DC 29.
Oh, damn. I failed. Wow.
Nice.
Failure. The target takes full damage and is frightened too. So that's 86 mental. So 31 mental damage and it's frightened too.
Wow.
Now we're cooking.
Woohoo. And in order to keep my field active, I will Meandering Mind again. As Kazavir like turns around and looks at everyone and goes, huh, who's paying? Are you paying attention over here? And just starts like trying to gesture at everybody as he lets his mind wander. That's in my turn. That again gets me a +2 circumstance bonus to saving throws.
I see. Very good. Your turn ends and its turn goes. So it first starts to shamble over and it moves, which will trigger a reaction if James wishes to take it.
I do not take it.
It in this new position, it is going
reflex to save.
Yeah, it does have to make a reflex save. I wish you could see that all of my saving throws are penalized, but I just keep rolling 19s for this thing.
It's just on fire.
Oh my God. That's a critical success. Oh no, it's 29, right? DC 29?
Yeah, so I don't get a critical success.
Right, so normal success, so 4 fire damage, because I rolled an 8 total.
He takes it. He goes up and he looks over at the shambling corpse of Deuces and goes, ooh.
No, I'm not food.
And he swings his bone scythe at you.
Oh, sounds so bad.
Does a 41 crit you?
I'm gonna say yes.
That's what I thought. I rolled really high. That is gonna be a total of, whoa, I rolled 60 damage on you. Jeez.
My God.
Like 6-0?
6-0, yes. Now you remember when James thought I said 68 and he was like, what? Yeah. This is actually me saying a 60 number. Then he turns to Kaz and he loads the bone flinger. Oh, actually, I get to try to trip you first, now that you are effectively there. So I don't think I trip you with a 23.
No.
No, 20. I would need a 26 to trip you. And so then he turns around and says, bones ahoy. And shoots the bones at Kaz.
Oh no, I just dropped my shield.
Gonna give him the bones.
Does a 30 hit you with your shield drop?
Yeah, 28. It hits me. But I'm gonna activate warp wounds as a reaction. Reality shifts to partially overlap another in which someone else was damaged instead of you. And in this reality, it accidentally shot itself. So I gain resistance to all damage, the target attack equal to half my level, which is 5. And I'm gonna have it take 5 damage instead.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is that you are still going to be taking 24 of that damage and it's taking 5.
Yes.
Very nice. That is a really cool reactive ability.
Yeah. I could also shift it to allies, but I'm not going to do that right now.
Why would you do that? Why would you not?
If you didn't have an enemy in the field, you can choose to have an ally take it instead.
Ah, gotcha.
They have to be that willing to like help you out. So 24 damage, you said?
Yes. Now, Keith, you are up.
86.
I'm going to try to intimidate it again.
So it's already frightened from that spell. So you can't make it more intimidated.
I can't increase the rounds of it.
I do not believe that they stack.
You'd have to critical to get frightened 2, because now it's frightened 1.
I don't need that. Yeah. I'm so strong.
Oh, my gosh. You hit.
So that's a how much do I beat it by? Do I beat it enough to get multiple rounds?
For your intimidation?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was your attack roll. No, that's a success. So you don't get the thing up.
Oh, excuse me, sir. I have a menacing snarl. You take an additional round of the frightened condition.
Wow. Okay, yeah, you got him back to frightened too.
Yeah, awesome. Now I bite him.
That is awesome. I love that.
It's very good.
I'm a very scary pirate, and you will respect me.
Mm.
If I could ever hit. I rolled a nat 1, so yeah.
Yeah. You have another attack. Oh, you also have 3 hero points.
So I do not. Well, I do have hero points. I guess I could throw a hero point yellow.
Right, that's what they're for. They're yellow points. Yeah, you all should have 3 hero points.
Yeah, I don't know.
I should have 2. I used 1.
Okay.
Reroll on that one. Try to get something out of it.
That is a hit.
Yeah, let's go.
There we go.
All right. 15 damage.
And you also get +1 because he's get-emed.
16 damage.
Actually, that's 3, +3. I was rereading get-em, and it goes up 1 at 5th, and it goes up, 10th? So it'd be the...
Oh.
18 damage.
More damage.
Love it.
Very good.
There we go.
He takes it.
That's all 3 of my actions.
Deuces is up.
Okay. Yeah, it's almost like I meant to write notes for all these things and got distracted by work. So, I know. Work before a holiday. What's up with that? All right. Oops. So we are going to get him again. We are going to reload my primary weapon, and then we're going to take a shot with it. So I think I've got it properly configured with ammo this time. Did a 32 hit the thing?
A 32 is a hit.
All right. We will do that. We will roll it. And we will say, you know what, that was a really quick 3 actions, but at least I've kept him got, and
yeah,
I'm ready for a couple of rounds of blasting.
Takes all that damage. Anyway. Next round goes to Kazavir.
Yeah, Kaz is going to... I need to maintain this field. I will meandering mind again.
You can hide behind me if you want. I won't be offended. I'm very scary.
Nah, it's fine. Kaz just starts like playing around with like his glove where he has like the shock. He's like, I probably won't use that. And he adjusts his face shield that he had out and raised. And then he looks up and he's like, oh yeah. And he's just gonna do the same thing again as he tries to envision this thing's death and press it upon it. So I will cast Vision of Death again. So that's another DC 29 will save. Oh, and I'll increase the range by 5 feet of the field again.
Oh my god, I can't believe I failed again.
Yeah!
Yes! Alright.
Keep it coming.
So, that's 8d6 mental again.
But wait, 1 second. This is a concentrate ability, isn't it?
What is?
Casting the spell.
Yeah.
I see, because, you know, you're in a very unfortunate predicament, because he's a huge creature, and you're within 15 feet of him, which means I get to trigger my reaction.
Oh, no.
I have attack of opportunity.
All right.
Or I guess it's now called reactive strike, isn't it?
Yes.
Pray. Oh, no, I might have actually missed you.
28 is exactly my armor class.
Do you have anything where you could go to an alternate reality and get a +1 bonus?
Is that of the shaken penalty?
Does it have the shaken? It should have the frightened penalty. Oh yeah, it says frightened 2 minus 2.
I don't think I have anything that will increase.
Okay. So I didn't get a critical success though, so that means I don't interrupt your spell, correct?
Correct.
So you're just
gonna get damaged.
You're just gonna take some damage. It's just 26.
All right.
It's just 26. That's fine. You're good. I believe in you.
Yeah, I will take it. And I yelp in pain, but at least it's going to take 24 points of damage.
And it's also still frightened for it, too, right? From both of you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. We got this. You're doing good. It's going to go. It's frightened.
Increase the radius by 5 feet just in case it moves further?
Yes, absolutely. Let's see, make it
bigger. It can get to a max of 65 foot radius total. So I'll just keep it going.
Nice.
It is currently at 30 feet. It's going to go and it's going to swing around and it's going to attempt to bone scythe James first. Bone scythe. Oh no! Oh no! A nat 1.
Oh, only way it misses.
Tell me what it looks like when you dodge this.
How would a dinosaur dodge something? I lean to the side and the weight of my head takes me, and that off-balance dodge causes it to swing over me.
Very nice. He then spins around and he attempts to get deuces for the second one at -5.
Please don't.
27.
That's a miss.
Oh yes. My God. And then for the last one, a bone spike appears in his chest and he fires it at Kaz, provoking from Keith if you haven't used your reaction already.
I have not. Yeah,
I'm looking for my reactions too.
That's so fair. You knocked mine.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, you knocked mine and I only got an 18 on that roll.
Which perfect. Is a critical miss, which doesn't do anything. But
yes.
I dodge easily. Retort.
What was that?
So if a creature misses or critically misses a melee strike, I would like to dirty retort as my reaction.
Sure.
So I will take a beer bottle and throw it in its face to try to, or just a bottle on the counter next to me, throw it in his face to try to make him clumsy or enfeebled.
Sure, do it. So, throw the beer bottle at him.
It actually, there's nothing that just says, you turn the tables on your attacker using underhanded tactics by doing something. The triggering creature becomes your choice of clumsy or enfeebled. I'm thinking I want clumsy. That might make it easier for us to hit. Does that sound right, guys?
Sure.
Yeah, clumsy is a minor. It takes its penalty to the armor class, which this is dirty retort.
Yes.
Cool. All right. So let's see. This says it lasts until the beginning of your next turn.
Yes. No. Until the beginning of its next turn.
Oh, its next turn. That's even better.
Yeah.
Wow. The penalties are really stacking up here.
That's what we got to do.
That's the hope.
Yeah. You've got him frightened. You've got him clumsy. And he's get-em'd. So let's see. So it says a status penalty. So your get-em is a circumstance penalty. Clumsy is a status penalty. And frightened is also a status penalty. So, yeah, he's not looking too happy so far. Then at the end of its turn, Owen pops up and says, I'm going to revise this addition a little in your favor. And he is going to cast a 5th level soothe spell targeting deuces. That's going to heal you. It looks like 6d, it would be +1 for every level. So 5d10 plus 20 hit points.
Nice.
Wow.
The total number you regain is 44 hit points back. That's a whole attack from the creature. I can punish you longer. Exactly. Keith, you're up.
Much obliged.
Well, I'm not gonna intimidate it again. I'm just gonna. I think it's just bite. I think bite is the answer. I feel like biting hasn't done me any bad things.
It was almost a 16.
That's yeah. Oh God,
James.
Oh, it's all turning up eels. It's all eels.
Oh my God. I literally just watched you roll all these dice. They were all below 10, James. I'm so sorry.
It was very, you know, I'm just biting the stuffing, and you know, stuffing is no substance. There's nothing important in that.
I'm not hurting it, but it kind of tastes good.
The ketchup is okay with the stuffing.
You're up, deuces.
All right, let's do get him again, and let's, and I really want to try to, how's, I guess I don't have any real way of, outside of metagaming, I don't have any real way to track its current penalty from demoralized, right?
It's currently frightened. It just ended its turn, so it's frightened 1.
Okay, I would have to crit to get it to frightened 2 if I wanted to do. So I'm going to take my chances with 2 attacks. So get them, attack, and attack. So let's go with the first. And
are you shooting me or are you stabbing me?
Shooting guns always deuces. Oh, I'm. You know what? That's my highest attack bonus. I am hero point rerolling that one.
Okay.
Do I just roll it again? Okay.
Yeah, just roll it again. It's fine.
Oh, that didn't get much better.
Well, I'm sure it's not going to make you happy, but since it just went, it got its reaction back. So it's going to bone scythe you for making that attack as an opportunity or as a react. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Stop it.
Oh, no.
Leave him alone.
I didn't hope you didn't like your insides.
No, they can be outsides.
This is the second time I've crit you.
Oh,
I swear that this is all the game. This isn't me.
Yeah, no, you totally didn't tell me this was going to happen.
I just put the energy out into the world, and the world chose to take it.
All right. Well, I can't use any of my reactions where he misses, so we'll go ahead and continue attacking. Second attack. 26 is going to miss.
Yep.
All right. Ugh. I keep using my reactions for other things and not for the... Yeah, it's... Okay, I'm good. Move on.
Taz, you're up. So now you know that you're in attack of opportunity range, but he just used attack of opportunity, so...
Yeah. Yep. Which means instead of stepping, I'm gonna...
Run?
Actually just move and stride back towards this table. 5, 10, 15, 20. All right. And Kaz is like, all right, there's got to be a calamity going on somewhere else that would piss this thing off. And he's going to use the world warp one more time on the creature. And hopefully it's a little better because I need to maintain as well.
You have been rolling really good on this. So I have been rolling really bad on this. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Oh my god, another nuclear explosion?
Yeah, another radioactive blast. I mean, I know it's fortitude again, but...
This time, I get a critical success.
Yeah. Boo this man. You got last time, too, so...
He just opens his mouth and eats the nuke.
Man! All right, yeah, another radioactive blast goes out, but at least I maintain the circle. And, and I step back, so I'm done.
I thought we agreed microwaving it is bad.
I didn't want to. I wanted to flash freeze it.
He's gonna strike deuces. He's sensing literally weakness.
Called flash freeze in there. I thought I was making that up. That was great.
How does a 43 do against you, deuces?
Oh.
Is that a crit? Yeah, that's a crit.
My god.
Just...
My god, just broke him in half.
So you take 64 points of damage. You gain the dying one condition, correct?
No, it's a crit, dying two.
You're dying two. Got it.
So I wanted to get away from him, but I just, with the actions that I had available, I needed to keep standing still.
He's going to lumber past James, triggering the aura again, to move towards the guy that's running.
Oh no.
He's going to make his reflex saving throw at penalties. But I think I fail. I think I take the full damage this time.
Yes, 6 fire. He failed fully.
Take that. You dumb turkey.
He's gonna go and he moves towards Rob to get Rob in range, and you call it a dumb turkey, and it turns around and it like gives you a look that's like, I'm getting you next.
You jack turkey.
It rolls a 31 on Rob.
Yep. Oh,
that hits me.
All right, here's some damage. 39. Ooh. And then it turns around and looks at James, and it has a bone, and it shoots James as a ranged attack.
Sun's getting real low.
What would you like to do, James, as you see this bone pop out and knows he's going to shoot you?
Watch it shoot me.
No attack of opportunity?
Nope.
You sit there, calm amidst the storm, and the bones just like pass along your side and completely miss you.
Amazing.
Utterly.
Turkey bones are supposed to be avoided for dogs. I am a dinosaur. That can do me no harm.
That's true. Owen is going to go, and he goes, oh, well, I, according to the rule book, I still have two more of these. He's going to soothe deuces for 49. Keith, you're up.
I'm going to delay until after deuces.
You may. I'm going to update you, and you are going to have a 29 on your initiative, so you can go after. Deuces, you are up. You are on your back, looking up at the ceiling, wondering, what entity have you pissed off to get beaten up so hard?
Well, in that case, I will use hip up as a free action. I am no longer on my back.
Oh, God. He's just doing acrobatics.
The power.
I will... collect my guns as I do so, because you drop them when you fall prone unconscious, I assume, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You could glue them to your hand.
You could glue them to your hand.
It's yeah, true. I could, but I did not. so one, I get my guns and jump up with Kip up. I will, we need to keep the bonuses. So, you know what? I'm going to get them so you guys get the bonuses. I am going to move. Whoa, I just moved everybody again. Let me try to undo that. Sorry.
Woo.
I don't know why it likes grabbing everyone when I try to grab my token. But I'm trying to move straight up to the wall.
Okay. You're allowed to do that.
Okay.
He doesn't seem to notice. His attention is on the guy who called him a turkey.
Yeah.
Why are you booing me? I'm right.
Okay, so that was three. I jump up, yeah. I move, I get him.
Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah. So I'm looking at it just to give everybody a debuff check. He is get him, but clumsy and frightened have both ended. So now we go to James.
Get scared again.
Ooh, nice roll.
37.
That is a critical success.
Get scared for two more rounds, the rest of your life.
Isn't it three rounds, though? Because it's two baseline, and then you could use your free action to go make it go up another one.
No, that Menacing Snarl is once per day ability, or am I tripping?
Oh.
Once per hour. It's a once per hour ability.
Ah, gotcha.
So two, but that's fine. That's all I needed. And I'm going to just give it some chomps. Give the bites. 34 hit?
That is a hit.
Let's go. 15, and then whatever get him is plus 3, so 18.
Yeah.
I did not lead by example this round, so you do not get that bonus. I apologize.
Then 15. No, that's okay. All good. And then I'm going to use momentum, which is this ability here. And I'm going to step between me and I wanted to say Kaz, but that's wrong. Randall's character.
Deuces.
There we go.
Deuces. Yes. Two guns.
So I can step twice. And each step is a 10-foot movement. And mm-hmm. just nice. The last strike is a successful melee attack. So I bite him and then head over and create a little bit of a, actually here's probably better, a little bit of a barrier between me and the thrice downed Isoki.
Nice. Yeah, that's I approve. Me. Next round goes to Kaz.
Kaz is real quick this round. He's going to step backward, and as he does so, he flips his hair, and a bunch of runes fly up around him. He's going to do a fourth level invisibility, which means it won't end if he takes a hostile action, and he's now invisible.
Cool. Yeah, nice.
And the field goes away. Because he doesn't concentrate on it. Bye, field.
Everybody wave bye.
The circles.
So sad.
Yeah, well, I can make it again if I want it.
He turns around and looks at Keith and says, eating time. And he's going to bone scythe Keith. Oh, I think that hits. 31?
Yep, that'll hit.
Take some damage. That it's going to be 34 points. I rolled a 10, a 7, and a 1.
Oh, okay. And
then he's going to shoot over you and trying to hit deuces.
Stop it!
With the bone that appears in his chest.
I do not take an A out.
Does a 31 hit you?
Yeah, unless I have... No, even cover wouldn't do it. So, yep.
36 points of damage. Ooh. Then he turns and looks down at James and says... and bone scythe you with his last action. I'm pretty sure a 19 misses.
Nope, that misses.
Delightful. So at the top of his round, his frightened condition goes from 2 to 3. Oh, actually, this isn't adding his frightened condition in. Looking back at you, Randall, for that bone shot I did on you.
Wounded, I'm penalized, so.
Oh, wounded lowers your armor class? I didn't know that.
Maybe.
Off guard does. Oh, you still have the prone condition.
That's what happened. Okay.
So my AC, stood up.
So my AC is 28. So even if you take the 31 down 1 or 2 or 3, I'm still going to get hit.
Well, he is shaking 2. So yeah, 29. You'd still be hit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Cool. Next round goes to Owen, I guess. Oh, God, you're still looking really bad.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm
keep critting him. What do you mean?
Owen says, I got one more left in the juice bottle. And juices deuces again for his last spell for 46. Next round goes to deuces.
Okay. All right. So this thing's still, we've got it's demoralized up. I've got, I'm just looking for different options, but we're going to keep up this. Our routine's working. I just keep getting hit and crit. So, we're going to get him again. We're going to take a shot, see if I can't add some damage by leading by example. Did that go?
There we go. 34 is a hit.
34 is a hit. Okay. So that gets some good bonuses there. Where is my damage button? There it is.
Oh.
Nice. So that's 10, plus you get to add half of your charisma modifier, which is another 2. And then you get to add 1.
So we may not. Let's see. Yeah, it's 1, 2, 3 plus the 5 is 8, so 4. Or no, half the 2. Yeah, you're right. So I can't do math.
Makes it. So you still have actions left.
I do have another action. I think I want to go ahead and I've got another hero point. I think I'm gonna go ahead and take another shot and see if I can't maybe crit fish if I have to.
Well, you rolled a 3.
Yep, that's not gonna do it. So we're gonna roll that one again. Come on. Hero point, last one.
I believe in you. Oh, it was almost a 20.
Almost. It was worth a shot. Get him out of the way. If I don't use them, then I, you know.
Yeah. Next round goes to Keith. Mm-hmm. Keith, he is currently frightened 1.
Yeah, he's currently bitened 1.
He is bitened 1. Oh no.
Oh no, I missed. Hero point.
Do it, hero point. I believe in you.
Yeah, come on, hero point.
Oh, 34 is a hit. You bit him. You tore off a piece of that meat.
Like that.
Biting that meat.
It was like 19, 1, 13.
All right. 15 plus 3 is 18.
Heck yeah.
And got him. You get your 10 hit points.
Oh yeah. I like that temp. Nice. I need that. I started with 150 hit points. I've just been very lucky this so far that I have not been crit as much as Randall. The third attack is a 28.
A 28 is going to, let's see, it's minus 1 from that. And that doesn't apply. So that is a miss, I think.
Okay. I'm going to save the third hit point, hero point.
Good call. Next round goes to Kaz.
Kaz, who's going to stay invisible because he cast that at 4th rank, looks deep in for his most strongest power, and he's going to use Vision of Death again. It's a signature spell, so instead I'm going to do it at 5th level instead of the normal 4th level. And now, not only will it see us eating it, it's going to see it like packaged away into small Tupperware containers and put in the deep freeze in order for others to partake of it, because it's just going to be discarded leftovers.
Oh no, hopefully. It's lunchly.
Yeah. So another DC 29 will save.
My God, you have so many of these visions of death.
Well, I used up some of my 4th rank. Now I'm using the 5th. All right, so that's a success. So it'll take half damage, but be frightened 1. So nice. Let's see. It should roll 10d6 damage. Yes, it's doing it correctly.
Oh, that's a lot. I like that.
Yeah, I wanted it to fail. All right, so half of 37 is 18, and it's frightened 1. And I stay invisible, so I'm going to be sneaking up around it. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. And the massive hard light wings that Kaz had implanted not too long ago allow him to slowly float in the direction of Deuces. Deuces doesn't know I'm coming, but I am.
I won't be eaten. You'll be eaten. As it bone scythes Keith.
Stop it!
Does a 42 crit you?
It would.
All right. Here's your
first. If I crit. Wasn't so bony.
Oh no! Have this. You only take 28.
I also take 5 less. That still hurts me a lot. That's still bad, but it's much better.
Oh gosh! Don't forget to subtract your temp hits too.
Yep, I'm doing that. Yep.
Good. it's gonna look down at you and be like, and scythe you again.
Yep, that's fair. I would do that too.
Does a 28 hit you?
Yes, it does hit.
Oh my god, I just barely hit you. I feel bad because one of the things I'm seeing, if I read your ability right with your Vesk scales, it automatically gives you I don't see how you would apply like armor rune. Oh, you can etch runes onto your scales.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Did you etch a rune onto your scales?
No.
Oh. Your armor would be higher, but that would still hit, so it doesn't matter. Here's your damage.
I don't overthink it. I just show up. I'm just here.
38.
That's the most powerful power that you can have, is just being here.
And James, I'm so sorry, but he gets 3 special abilities at his level. You've seen 2 of them, and now you are about to experience the 3rd.
Oh, let's go.
He can rend. He automatically deals the strike's damage to you again if he hits you this with the same strike twice.
Ah, I see. Bested. Hoisted on my own petard.
You take 33 damage.
I am dying.
Yeah, so you are dying 1. I did not crit you, so you're not dying 2. Unlike our friend over there. However, that does take all of his actions to put you down. Owen yells over the thing and says, "Don't worry, soothe is my signature spell." And he soothes Keith for 35 damage.
Oh! I feel like this is like Windows or something like that. Like, hear the Windows like shut down and restart sound.
Owen says, "By the way, I think it doesn't dodge very well. If you can make it do the dodge thing."
I'll get on that.
It's very big.
Thanks.
Deuces, you're up.
Okay, Deuces. Man, okay. Yeah. Tempting to try to do some battle medicine to you. I don't know how bad you are right now.
Oh, but I'm very bad, but that amount of hit points, I don't think will swing how I live.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, we're going to mix things up a little, though. I am going to go ahead and do get him for my one action as I do. I'm going to reload for my second action because I used all my shots with all of those double shoot rounds. And then I will take another shot as my third action, which not that it matters this particular round, but my active leadership, because of my level, now includes reloading.
Oh, that's so cool. Watch you.
I don't even have to shoot them. I can shoot or reload. So, one attack. Go. Come on.
Oh, that was nice. There we go. That was the flattest roll I'd seen. That just landed there.
Amazing.
All right. Yeah.
Damn. That was like watching our friend who plays an inquisitor role where he just drops the dice on the table.
I did not take that. I was trying to double shot.
Don't crit yourself.
Yeah.
You have so much to live for.
I hit the double button because I didn't hit the crit button the first time.
So I'm looking at that damage that you just did with that 22 crit. That doesn't seem to be taking your lead by example in either.
Oh, no, it doesn't. You're right. So the lead by example damage, which we've established, I keep forgetting, is 5 plus 3. So it's 8. Or no, it's half the charisma. So 2 plus 3. So 5 doubled would be 10 more.
That is a good extra number of damage, though. You guys need every penny here.
Yeah.
Every penny. 10 more.
3 for me.
You're doing it. Look at you. You're whittling them down bit by bit. Keith Lawman, you're on the ground, on your back. What do you do?
I roar back to life. Reborn the monster. It's me. I'm the monster.
Yes.
It's me. Nice.
35. Does that intimidate it?
Yes, you successfully frighten it. 35 will not be a crit, so it's just frightened 1, but it gets it.
All right, and then I stand up, so I didn't hear no bell.
Okay.
And then I bite.
What do you do? Oh no! Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
And 38's not a crit, right?
38 is not a crit, but that is a solid hit. You do 11 damage plus the 3 from Randall's ability, which 14. Is a total of 14. He's fading fast. There's like chunks of leftover that are starting to fall off. The big bird in the middle, you ripped the stitching lining that you would use to like seal the stuffing inside while it's baking, and like stuffing is just pouring out on the ground. It's very grisly if it wasn't food.
My mouth is just covered, and you can't tell if it's blood or cranberry sauce.
A little bit of both. Deuce's shots, keep it up. Got it. More of your hit points. You get 5 temporary hit points.
Nice. Thank you.
You are up, Kazavir.
Kaz just shouts, "All right, if you say so, Owen, cook. And we'll do flash fire at 5th rank with 3 actions. And it just creates this like burst of fire around it to the side, so I don't hit my friends, of course. As fire just comes roaring up, and that's a DC 29 basic reflex save for it.
All right. He's gonna look at you and trigger his attack of opportunity.
He can't see me, I'm invisible.
You're invisible, no!
Yeah. The power.
The power of back. Invisibility.
He fails!
Woo! Yes! All right, roll damage.
Do it to it.
So 5d6 fire.
Oh.
25 fire, and he has, I forget how much persistent now.
6?
6, it looks like.
Yeah.
And if it moves through this area, it also takes 6 fire for every square. Oh, so I should put the first down.
That's nicely okay.
Done.
Wait, the 6 is if it critically fails. Oh, the self-persistent.
Yeah,
the area,
right. Yeah.
The area still happens, though.
Cool, the area is still there. So close. That's all 3 actions for that spell, so I am done.
Okay.
That was a good round.
Yeah,
it's turn. So mm-hmm. I imagine that like when you cast your spell, like there's like a magical like effect in your square. So even though you're invisible.
Oh, I'm sure.
It knows.
It can try to find me.
So it's going to move towards you to try to find you.
All right. It moves 5 feet, so it takes 6 fire damage automatically.
I want to show you something funny. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yay! It had exactly 6 hit points left. So it stumbles towards you. This creature is not intelligent. There are no tactics in this turkey fried brain. And so as it moves, trying to find the source of the fire, tell me what it looks like when you cook this meat monstrosity.
Yeah, the fire, it turns out it's from a dimension where the fire is a bit more like a blue green, and it just starts slowly cooking it up and making the skin look just perfectly roasted as the flames like lick it and kind of bring it down into a nice like simmer, and like the juices start rolling off it, and you just hear Kaz go, "Oh, actually it doesn't look that bad, maybe we could still eat it."
I didn't stop.
As your fire like burns it, the ketchup runes that cultist put on it like evaporate and disappear, and it just collapses into ordinary food again.
Oh, we should have just gotten rid of the ketchup. Sorry, everybody.
I didn't think of it either. Oh, well.
The people who have been like taking cover during this epic fire, the fight, like start peeking their heads out from under their tables, or a few of them left. At this point, a couple of the Starfinder Society, I think they're called Exoguardians, that's their name. The Exoguardians like come in and are like, "Oh, where's the catastrophe?" And you all pop up, and Owen holds up a bottle and goes, "3 cheers for the heroes! Hip hip!" And they all go, "Hooray! Hip hip! Hooray!
Cook, cook,
hip hip!
Cook.
Hooray!
Hooray!"
"Well, that was a very exciting dinner," Owen says. "Luckily for you, in that time, we're ready for dessert," and a door opens up on a plate, and there's a whole bunch of different cakes and pies that have been specifically painstakingly baked to look like actual monsters with like snarling teeth and like open mouths, and like one of them is like a stuffed like cake with like a dribble coming out from like the fondant filling, and you guys just kind of look at the cakes, and what are your reactions?
Barrels.
Kaz immediately deploys his quantum pulse, and a warp reality field appears as the quantum field springs out. Nope. Kaz just shouts as the area around it starts distorting.
And with that, the screen fades to black, and Thankless Devouring appears on the screen because you guys have successfully stopped the horrific food monster.
Yay!
Congratulations, awesome. You have survived with Owen's help.
That one's going to drop, yeah.
Thank you, Owen.
Oh, thanks, Owen. I was going to run over and make Deuces invisible because he just kept getting hit and dropped. I was like, what else do? I make myself invisible and maybe him?
So let me ask, let's go over some of your thoughts about the Starfinder. Get everybody, so let's start with Randall. Give me one thing about the playtest that you've seen with the characters you built or the Starfinder rules in general that you really liked.
So I do like that the action variety built into the new core, it does offer you the options to be able to move around. I unfortunately chose a particular skill set that made it, in this example, I needed to stand static. Had I, instead of trying to shoot twice or doing the one-off actions, I should have kept moving out of range so that it ate up actions. Mm-hmm. But it's built in, and I like the way it's built in. And of course, I'm a super fan of second edition, so I like all of the compatibility and the rules that they took from it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I imagine that if they were to do this like the first edition the second edition playtest, where they had like a playtest bestiary, like it wouldn't be a thing. But the fact that I could make a food monster using second edition rules, and for the most part, it was fine. You know, like,
yeah,
cool. Like it worked out well. I like that part of it. What do you think, Rob?
I really like that I had so many different ways to keep my quantum field going. It could have been a boost for me. It could have been my focus spells, and just different ways to kind of like keep the natural part of the Witch Warper, the like main feature going, let alone the versatility. And you remarked like, oh, it seems like you have a ton of spells. Yeah, like I have 4 spells of each level with the Witch Warper's spell per day. So that was really nice as well.
And yeah,
there was the time that you threw one of the bone spears at me and you missed. I actually wanted you to hit because that reaction I have to take resistance to the damage is also anchoring and would have counted as me sustaining the field next time. So I could have used my actions for other stuff instead of dropping the field. But I was like, maybe it's best not to get hit anyway.
That's cool. It sounds like the Witch Warper has a lot of really interesting synergy.
Yeah,
I like that about it. It feels like the class has a game plan and all the abilities kind of fit into it.
Yeah, James, nice.
James, you played second level with Keith, and now you've played 10th level. What are your thoughts? What did you like?
I enjoyed being there. I feel like a lot of your frontline powers are fine. This is going to not sound like, it's going to make it sound bad, but just the ability to kind of be a wall in a way that Solarians, I don't believe, were before. Kind of felt good. It honestly felt better against multiple opponents. A lot of things that it wants to do, and the Graviton state of it, do a lot of crowd control. And when there's just one big thing punching you every turn, a lot of those crowd control options don't actually do a whole ton to it. Besides just kind of make it a little fussy. Also weird that my finger guns aren't more than a 15-foot range. I found ways to just kind of fly all the time, but that range on that gun doesn't increase.
Yeah, I know that was something we talked about before when we were like looking over our characters, that it was like, hey, the Solarian is supposed to be able to like make guns, and having a, because like the thing is with the new lore is that your solar mote is transforms into an actual weapon instead of just being like an abstract thing. And if you're turning into a laser gun, but that laser gun can only go 15 feet when an actual laser gun goes like 100 feet, that feels a little bit weird to me too. I agree. So it sounds like you gave me both the thing you liked and the thing you didn't.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I went off.
Oh, is there anything else you didn't like or really liked?
I mean, I liked how the bonus stacking worked. I don't like that everything has a different name for conditions, but I felt like when we were able to like finally land debuffs, that synergy felt good. Kind of felt necessary at some point. And also the healing part felt necessary, which is, you know, neither here nor there.
I will say this, that fight was an extreme encounter. The rule book generally doesn't advise doing extreme encounters, but I figured that for a stress test, it might be a good test.
Yeah, it felt like that. It felt like it was something that was above CR. I was thinking about that. It didn't feel bad for above CR. It kind of felt like how Starfinder feels when you're like 4 above CR. Like Starfinder
That dinosaur, a dinosaur in the second book of Dead Sons.
Yeah.
Where we only won because I crit it, and then we just ran away from it until the burning condition took its life.
The bleeding, yeah.
That was the bleeding condition, right. Yeah, the bleeding
just,
condition took
its like life. Just like sanguinating a Tyrannosaurus Rex, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, because I think is this group in particular, had we had roughly equal CRs, whether the higher or lower doesn't matter, yeah, but if we'd had 4, 5, 6 opponents between the Witch Warper area spells, the Solarian being able to move and duck, mm-hmm, and then with my own, I had my demoralize, options. I had a couple of movement options too, because I wasn't sure what the scenario was going to look like or what the area would look like. I had a feat that I could spend an action to give everybody +5 movement for a turn. Ooh. I had, I had a feat that would let me spend an action to switch places with an adjacent ally. So I could pull people in, pull people out as needed. And in a group where there's a bunch of enemies, I can, okay, get that one and shoot over here and reload. And, I think this group would be fun against a crowd. And
yeah,
even what we played now showed, mm-hmm, that. And the fact that we can see that just from playing this one encounter, we can see how it applies. I think that is a positive for the system. So
yeah, I wonder if when they do the core rule book, if they're gonna, or the GM guide or whatever, they're gonna talk about how, like, because to me it feels like a lot of the Starfinder classes are designed to fight like groups and not really one-on-one, because you got like the soldier where everything they do is an area attack. Everything the Witch Warper does is a major area.
Almost ability. Everything. Yeah. I had a lot of area stuff.
So like, I wonder like if that's going to be something they say when it comes to encounter design. Maybe Starfinder as a game is not going to be at its best when you have a big one-on-one encounter, which will certainly be interested for their adventure path design, because I feel like when we think about adventure path design, we kind of expect that big one-on-one set piece encounter. And the game is kind of like, Starfinder and the system Pathfinder doesn't really have a, I guess you would call it a minion system, kind of like what fourth edition D&D used to have, where you would have like little guys that were easily killable. Yeah. Where like, so like, and you would need that in order to have one big guy that you're really focused on. It'd be interesting to see if they do something.
And the way with core works now, and with kind of true even beforehand, if your group goes up against one enemy and you can tell it's going to be like a main enemy or a major enemy, you know quickly debuff and buff is going to be important in order to really get at its attacks, or have it failing your saving throws or it missing you. So, I mean, all the frightened we were rolling out was clutch here.
Yeah, I definitely think that this, and it's been true in Pathfinder 2e since Pathfinder 2e came out like 7 or 8 years ago, you know, but like, the debuffing is like sort of the metagame. Like, you can't really play the game without rolling out buffs and or debuffs. But with that in mind, I want to circle back to Randall. Randall, what was something about the system you feel like needs work or wasn't too great?
I'm not sure. A lot of the problems I had tonight were basically the choices I made. I don't know that I really, and I'm trying to scan through my character sheet real quick to see if anything jumps out at me, and I'm not. I kind of got stuck in the, I have to do these actions, but I still feel like that was a result of the situation of us fighting such a high guy that kept critting me.
Yeah.
It's like my build was kind of narrowly focused, but I had the movement options. We never needed to move or could move. You know? So, in this particular scenario, I don't know that I have anything that I'm unhappy with other than the choices I made and the dice. But you told me it was going to happen. I brought that on myself. So,
yeah, I mean, half the reason why I didn't use my reaction for attacks of opportunity was to save that crit mitigation ability that I had, because I was waiting for it to come and they just kept going to Randall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen. He was already dead. Like, he's like, oh, that's just a turkey I can eat and add to my body. that's his logic. He's like, I'm just gonna add that. I just missed some of the food before. Rob, what was something that you maybe weren't too thrilled about with how the system played? Was there anything that felt like off to you?
I mean, definitely I want to make sure that those feats that affect the quantum field, you can still choose not to have affect your allies. Like, I have Twisted Dark Zone, which I never used, another anchoring ability that affects your field, which makes it dark, and enemies or creatures in it that are affected, I suppose, have to make will saves or become confused for a round. But mm-hmm. I'm like, does that mean only the confusion affects the enemy, but it would still be dark for everybody? And I just ultimately was like, I'm not going to try to throw this down right now. I don't know that it would be that effective over some of the damaging spells. Mm-hmm. And I love the versatility that exists in my focus spell, that warp, world warp. I love that. But it did, and I know the enemy was high challenge rating for us effectively, but it would be nice if those effects had different types of saves, like if one was even if it was just reflex and fort instead of all of it being fortitude, just to add a little versatility. I tried to choose spells between armor class targeting and will and reflex and all. It just, because those are supposed to be like your big deal, those are your focus powers, and it's like, oh well, I had to try again, and obviously we got the same thing, so it would have been fortitude again, perhaps, but mm-hmm. it just feels like it needs, in a class that's supposed to represent chaos and versatility, it feels like maybe the focus power should too. So yeah. Those two things.
I know that in first edition Starfinder, the Witch Warper all had like different types of abilities, and like what the Infinite Worlds did change the reflex save that you needed to make. So like, maybe if it was the kind of thing where like, almost like some of your abilities were like, oh, when you put the field down, and every time you either sustain it or like once during your turn, you get to be like, aha, I pick one of these effects and it triggers, and the effect that triggers determines the saving throw. And maybe like the base thing that it has is like automatically fortitude or whatever, but you have some that do will. Because like, it would certainly make sense if you could like channel an alternate reality where a giant boulder just happened to be rolling through at that exact moment, and the boulder phases in, hits the guy, and then disappears, you know?
Yeah, that would definitely have helped with some of that challenge. Yeah. But the real thing, I want to make sure that those feats are not going to affect your allies, because like if the damage one with moving would have affected my allies, I would have used it. I wouldn't have increased the size. I wouldn't want to use anything that would challenge any allies casting spells or doing concentrate too. So
and
then the darkness thing, like would darkness affect everybody or just the enemies? I think that needs very clear detail.
I agree with that. I think that it's not clear because the baseline ability says that it doesn't affect allies. It only affects enemies, but
whoever you choose even.
Yeah. So
it could be like, maybe the feats just need to be written instead of like all creatures. Creatures you chose to affect, or creatures you choose to affect.
Yeah.
Just that writing would clear it up so much.
Yeah. Well, I think so. Basically, for all of you listening, this is the end of our like fun actual play stuff. James and I have done two pretty cool games. I've run two games. James has played the Solarian at two different levels. We've gotten to see all the classes, almost all the classes. There's one we haven't seen, right? Get played.
I think there's two we haven't seen.
Mystic. We haven't seen Mystic, and
there was no Mystic, right? Did you have an envoy?
Yes. Yeah, we've had two envoys and a soldier and two Solarians and a Witch Warper and an operative. Yeah. So,
just Mystic. Just Mystic.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, cool. We are basically at the point where our next show in December, which is going to be on
the 18th, because the 25th 18th. Is Christmas.
Yeah, we're not doing a show on Christmas. Sorry, y'all. honestly, as always, we record this episode live in front of a Twitch audience. And like, I'm pretty sure it's the four of us on. And then I know Dustin Knight is watching, and there's like one other person watching. So like, I imagine that it's because most people are hanging out with their families, which is totally fine. Yeah. But
also, we forgot to put out images and stuff like that ahead of time.
This week was,
you know, we say the last Wednesday, you know.
This week was rough for me, man, at work. I don't know about you.
I believe it. Oh, yeah.
But we are going to be planning on the 18th of December. That's going to be our final like thoughts. Don't forget, before that rolls around, the Starfinder team wants your feedback. So if you've seen any of the stuff and you have feedback based on what we've done or what we've seen, or if you've played and you have your own feedback, please send it over to him. I happen to know that that right now the team is like actually acting on the stuff that people are doing. They can't wait until January to start changing and fixing and improving. So send your feedback quick. You can edit it at any time you want before the period ends. Go over, give the feedback, help them make this game the best game it can be. Anybody have any shout outs before we head out?
No.
I'll say no. Thank you for running this, Alex. This has
You're
been great.
Welcome. I hope you guys had fun.
Yeah, very much.
Even if I almost killed you with Thanksgiving dinner.
I've never gotten to make a Witch Warper. I don't play much Starfinder. I'd really like to. But this has been a great chance, and I just love the concept of the Witch Warper and tons of role-playing capability. Yeah. It's just amazing. Love it.
You know, one thing that I've always said is that Starfinder, or all the things about the original first edition of the game that are a little bit rough, and it does have some places where it could have used some shine, Starship Combat. for all of those things, like the lore is awesome, and I stand by my assertion that the Witch Warper is one of the coolest classes Paizo has ever done from a thematic standpoint.
Yeah, like can't wait to hear of somebody playing in one of the adventure paths or a Pathfinder, and someone's like, I really want to play a Witch Warper that's gone back in time. Mm. And it's going to be like, oh, with Starfinder 2E, that's easy now. Let's do it. Let's figure out some of the idiosyncrasies of your equipment. Done.
Or Owen's build in this is he's literally a temporal, like, alternate time-shifted version of Owen in this timeline. It's literally amazing. Just Owen. It's great. You can do that. Go be
I kind of want to run Kingmaker 2E with a Starfinder crew that crashed their ship back through time.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you can do it.
Numeria is right north. I'm running Kingmaker 2E for my game right now, or for my crew. Maybe if one of them dies, I'll encourage them to try Starfinder. Maybe, but that'd be perfect.
Maybe your party is the party that crashed the Numeria spaceship into Galarian.
Ooh, there you go.
Dun, dun, dun. And now you're actually playing like Conan Pathfinder, because like it crashed so long ago. But thanks for joining us, both to our special guests Rob and Randall, and everybody else who's listening. Remember, if you want to hang out with us, we have a Discord. Go to nodirectionpodcast.com, read all of the cool articles that awesome people like Rob and Randall put up, and that James and I used to do. There's lots of content, great stuff. You'll also find a link to our Discord channel where you can come and hang out with us. The Pathfinder 2E team does their stuff. Ryan does Essence D20. John does his digital divination and his other shows. We do our show the last Wednesday of every month. We're happy to have you come on, hang out with us, talk, enjoy Pathfinder with us. And until that time where you come and join us, I'm Alexander Agunis, and go beyond with No Direction.